Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investors Spotlight. And it is time to get into this week's episode. So episode 56, brothers, the Downing brothers, Anthony and Anton Downing, talked about so much, man, rehabbing properties, using the 203K loan for rehabbing those properties. And so that's what we wanted to pull out for this episode, how to use the 203K loan for rehabbing properties and what their process was like the first time around. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Let's run it. Get your pens and pads out. It's always going to be a good one. Here we go.
You mentioned that you had a pretty big rehab on the property where you got the FHA 203K loan. So two things. Can you talk about what that particular loan is? And two, like, what was it like just managing a rehab? You know, it seemed like it was your first one. So can you talk to us about what that was like?
Totally. Great experience too. Great experience. And that's actually where we learned that we were going to work together. Mm-hmm. Again, we kind of fell backwards into this whole working together in real estate and then all of a sudden people watching us on TV do it. So mm-hmm. when we did this project, what was very appealing to me when I found out what a 203K was, is that there's a 203K consultant.
Right.
Who is basically holding your hand because they're protecting the bank's interest, which happens to also protect your interest because they want to make sure that the general contractor is doing everything to code, completing everything that's on the scope of work and staying within the budget, right? Mm-hmm. As they release those draws from the bank to you as the buyer to then mm-hmm. give to the contractors. And so the fact that I had that almost big brother sitting there guiding me through this process, I appreciated that. So then also the type of contractors that you deal with on a 203K are the ones that have money because mm-hmm. on that first draw, they have to come out of their own pocket. They may on a $30,000 renovation, which is really a light renovation. I didn't realize it back then that it was a light renovation compared to the stuff we did, later, but on a $30,000 renovation, they got to come out of pocket like 10 grand on the first draw. Out of their own pocket. So mm-hmm. if they're invested with their own money, they have more investment to actually get your project done right and not run away or walk away from your project because they're using their own money right. And they don't make any profit until the last draw. And so for those who are like, I'm not sure if I'm capable or I'm not sure if this is a safe bet, start with a 203K. You then mm-hmm. learn how to work and manage and communicate with the general contractor, plus the added benefit of the 203K consultant that you can also talk to. And then you get through that project and then be hands-on. So when I mean hands-on, when you're not at work, every day that's available to you, go to that project
right.
and ask the contractor, what are you guys doing today? Oh, what are they doing over there? Oh, show me. What's that mean? What kind mm-hmm. of pipe is that?
And we're on different shifts at the fire department. So I started going when he's at the firehouse. Right. I'm not telling them that I'm not him. I'm just in there and making them feel like there's an ever-present.
One of us is always
a person. Just bam, yo, what are we doing today? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but when I say hands-on, this is where I'm like, when they're doing some work, ask them what those materials are. How much does that material cost? What tools are you using in order to drill or to nail or to staple whatever it is that they're working on. And mm-hmm. By asking questions, you then on following projects, the following year, the next project, you're all that information of knowing how something's done right, then you also mm-hmm. now can recognize when something's being done wrong. And that's how you then become able to manage and hold your contractors accountable because now you know how something is properly painted or how the drywall is cut and the way it's supposed to be taped and mudded. Like, you know these things when you see it.
Let's be real. Everything is on Google. When you're getting an estimate for the bathroom, you know the bathroom is supposed to be somewhere between $4 and $6 per square foot. That's the estimate for the bathroom. And there's estimates like that for the living room, for the bedrooms. There's estimates like that for the electrical before you close up the wall. And once you start to get in tune with what those dollar amounts are per square foot or and whatnot, people can't get over on you.
Yeah. And you know what? Going to Home Depot or Lowe's is free. Mm-hmm. So knowing the difference in price between this kind of tile and this kind of tile, the difference between using this brand of paint and this brand of paint, or, you know, how much does the drywall cost and how many sheets of drywall do I need? The crazy thing is, if you know the square footage for a room, you can actually go up to Home Depot, and the people at Home Depot, even if you're not really good at math or whatever, you if you give them the square footage, they can tell you how many sheets of drywall you should have. And you can know all this in advance. Then when the contractor goes, you can actually hold them accountable and just let them tell you what the costs are.
Just let them talk.
And then you say, well, I thought it was supposed to be this. Because you already know the answer in advance.
Right.
So, and that's in the beginning, because, you know, eventually you'll get to the point, and we're at the point where we have the type of relationships with our contractors where I don't have to monitor and so on and so forth, because, you know, they want to do it right because they want to keep on working with us. Mm-hmm. But you have to kind of know in the beginning what's going on.
Definitely. So where did things go from there? I know you came a little bit later on. I think you said 2013.
Yeah, tell me.
Now, I was like, yeah, it got to be a 3-unit for me, right? Yeah. And I went FHA, and for FHA, a lot of times they call that a first-time home buyer loan, but it's just a product. You can do it over and over again. Okay. So long as you only, you know, you refinance the property into a conventional, and then you can go FHA again, which is what I did for my second 3-unit building. But on the first one, you know, I found one for 100, and I think it was on there for 169. Of course, we went back, my realtor went back and forth and got it down to 153. Okay.
Wow.
And that's the 3.5% down. And, you know, 1% of that 3.5% was my earnest money when I first put in a contract for it. And when I was accepted, well, put in a bid for it. And when I was accepted, you know, now I had to come up with the other 2.5% down payment. So then my realtor negotiated for 6% seller contribution from, you know, to closing costs and down payment. Well, he came back like, I'm not going to give you 6%, but I'll give you $5,000. And I was like, all right, well, that's actually pretty close to what I want anyway. So at closing, I only had to come with $1,250.
Woo! Wow.
In the building. Okay.
Wow.
Now, it was basically, you know, a turnkey. I had a tenant in the building who wasn't paying rent, and thank God I caught that early, because, you know, in Illinois, if you can't get them kicked out before December 1st, they have the right to stay until March 1st. So they get three months where you cannot kick them out during the wintertime. So, but wow. I took her to court in October, and then the judge was like, okay, you've already admitted that you owe him 2 months rent. The next court date is going to be November 20 something, right? And if you don't pay his back, you know, back pay by the next court date of November 20th, then you're going to get evicted. And the eviction already did the math. The eviction was going to be before December 1st. And when she realized that with her free attorney, you know, that was the case, she just put the key on the counter, sent me a text message saying, I moved out. It was like a week later. She just moved out because she knew she wasn't going to win this. So that's what happened with that. Now, when I say they were turnkey enough to put people in there, I was like, I wanted it to be really desirable. So I wood floors throughout. So I had the wood floors sanded for like $1,200 per floor. I redid the bathrooms. Each of the bathrooms was like $1,500. To be honest with you, I had like, you know, a Mexican guy come up there doing the work, you know, basically for, you know, cash under the table type of stuff, you know, but it was a good work, and he did not play around. He got the stuff done. And like I said, it was basically turnkey already. So once I got those couple of things done, you know, I just moved tenants in. Section 8 on the middle unit on the top floor. Then I, which was $1,100 per unit up there. And then the garden unit I did for $950. The mortgage was only $1,200. So one of my units was paying the mortgage. The half of the next unit was like paying like the maintenance, you know, shoveling the snow, you know, stuff like that. And then the third unit was straight, you know, cash in my pocket, about $1,000 a month.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.